Hello and welcome to Pints and Pairings. I am Curtis Taylor, also known as Hop Headset.
And I'm Jason Hendrick from Everybody's Hungry. This is the fourth installment of our St. Archer flight night, St. Archer Brewing Company out of San Diego, California.
Can I get serious for a minute? I'm seriously starting to feel the first three St. Archer beers. Can I get really serious here? Yes.
What is
so
this?
we are going through. I mean, we
I felt
hit,
like you were in a confessional for a second.
I was. I'm like, I don't usually announce to the world that I'm feeling a little chatty and buzzy. Oh no, I do that every time we're here. Don't I? Never mind. We are going on to the St. Archer Double IPA. Go to StArcherBrewery.com. Take a look at the beers. You can get an idea of what they've got. However, you will not find this one on their website. You'll see that it's listed there, but there's no link. So this is where you've got to come in order to find to learn about.
Yeah, because on their website they got blonde, pale IPA and white ale, but we've got access to the green label.
Yes, we do. The double IPA. You know what? I haven't even taken a whiff out of it yet.
You know one thing we didn't talk about too much?
Rotate just a tiny bit there.
Oh, other direction.
There it is.
I'll block my face. It's okay. One of the things that we didn't talk about that I really like is the consistency in their branding and their labels on their beers. Everything is structured and consistent from bottle to bottle. The color is different from style to style, but the wording, the font and everything. So you always know when you go to the cooler, you're going to know St. Archer beer no matter what style. And I kind of like that. I like that they're theming through their labeling in the way that they have.
As an art school dropout, I have to say that I appreciate uniform branding, and you can always tell a homebrew, you know, a homebrewer that's gone home commercial and they've decided to keep their cousin Larry on as like he did such a great job with that one that I did when I brewed it out of a cooler in my backyard.
Sure.
That was so great. So anyway, it you know,
it allows you to find the beer more distinctly and absolutely. Easily as well. You go into your local liquor store or beer cave, just like ours at 231 Village Commons Boulevard here in Camarillo. Village Commons Market and their beer cave supplies this beer for us. When you go into that shop that you covet, you're going to be able to look at the shelf and know that St. Archer is what you're looking for based on the branding and the label.
Absolutely. And, you know, as we're talking about it, if you've had this beer and you've got some ideas that you want to let us know about, tag us at hashtag beer suggestioneers or hashtag pints and pairings. Let us know what your thoughts are about this beer. Because this beer, you know, we've worked from the blonde, which was a Kolsch, to their pale ale, which was a true pale ale. And then to the IPA, which started to get pretty hop dominated, to this one. There is a lot happening in this beer. And so I want to know if you've had it, what your opinions are on this beer. And, you know, let us know through those channels and or leave a, you know, comments in iTunes.
Give
or
us,
YouTube,
before I get into my perception of this beer flavor wise and aroma wise, Curtis, give us a little bit of the characteristics of a double IPA. What makes double IPA what it is?
A double IPA is, you're generally looking at anything that it's stretched a little bit, but it used to be at 7.5% and up. And so it wasn't a true doubling of the alcohol and the hops. It was just a generous addition supplement to it. And this one certainly is that way. This one I think is 8.5%. Somewhere in there, it's on the bottle on the backside. So the last one, the IPA, was at
6.8%.
6.8, I think, was the last one. This one is 8.3. So we're not doubling the alcohol, but that's just the style guideline.
But I have to tell you, the intensity of hop presence is almost doubled.
Yeah,
I mean, this is in your face hops. I grew up in Indiana. I don't think this is. Unless you're a craft brew enthusiast and you're really on a West Coast kick where you're trading for some West Coast beers, I don't think this is going to be commonplace in the Midwest. This has a really West Coast feel to me. It's an intensity of hops. There's a bitterness right on the palate. It makes your mouth salivate. and it leaves you with this really incredible, just earthy veg, like herbaceousness. I've been getting a lot of lettuces lately in our farm delivery, and we're doing a CSA, community-sponsored agriculture. And when that box shows up, we've had 4 to 6 styles of lettuces every week. This is right up there with some great radicchio, mm-hmm. even a little cabbage component. There's a peppery frisée in this glass. I mean, the hops are prominent. They're mm-hmm. front and center on the stage.
And that's what a double IPA should be. One of the things I was surprised by...
It's almost... Sorry, not to derail you, but this... Almost a little finishing of like a chicory, like a New Orleans-style chicory coffee, yeah. That bitterness, that roasted root mm-hmm. lettuce.
Yeah, definitely. And this isn't Moylan's Hopsicle. This isn't Double Jack. This isn't any number of your double IPAs. I'm trying to think of some that are out there that people are going to get, like 90 minute or any, you know. This is a hop bomb, and there's just no way around it.
I even tried to subdue it a little bit with some of this oatmeal raisin cookie with a lot of brown sugar and sweetness to it. It pulled a WWE like elbow from the top rope. The hops just slammed it down. Yeah. There's no mercy. The hops did not relinquish control to the sweetness whatsoever.
I found that too as I was trying to eat that, which is something a cookie will do a lot of times. The sweetness will help to counteract that bitterness. That isn't, I think maybe that came, what my last statement was, that this is a hop bomb, may have been come off a little too harsh. I didn't mean that necessarily in a negative way. I just want you to understand that when you drink this beer, that's what you're getting.
Yeah, no up front.
Like a Double Jack, for instance, from Firestone Walker, there is a substantial malt backbone to that beer, and it balances it out. So there's a lot of hops, but there's also a sweet malty backbone. And this one here has a Kolsch or a Pilsner kind
it's
of
a lot
backbone.
Thinner.
There's a bready flavor there, but there isn't the sweetness. This is a hop forward, a hop centric beer.
But I'm glad you said that, because food wise, I was struggling up until that very last statement you made. I was struggling, like, what are we going to put with this? What are we going to guide our listeners toward? And you started to bring it home for me when you said it's a bready underlying flavor, but it doesn't really knock the hops back far enough. What about a real simple rosemary focaccia?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's, you take a beautiful, kind of soft and warm focaccia with a chewy edge and outer layer, or like outer skin, put this awesome rosemary herbaceousness. I don't think you're going to be able to get away from any dishes that don't have a powerful herbaceous component on their own. I think you're going to have to really resonate those tones together in order for these pairings to work.
Absolutely. And playing, you know, earlier you were talking about these, the lettuces and the radicchio and those kinds of things. I'm also thinking about going towards like a pastrami sandwich, and that, ooh, you know, with a load of greens, whether it's arugula or if it's spinach or if it's radicchio, like just a combination, maybe a baby greens combination.
Impressed though. Like, as soon as you said it, I was like, oh my God, that makes sense. A pastrami, like a really briny, cured type of warm sandwich with, mm-hmm. and you're going to get a really beautiful, pungent, melty cheese on there. Mm-hmm. Something that's creamy, mm-hmm. and with a lot of earthy and pungency aroma to it. Pungent aroma. You threw me for a loop on the pastrami. I think that's a great, because I think grain mustard is a commonplace, mm-hmm. too. It's a common condiment. I almost tried to say that as one.
Yeah, and it is not a condom.
No, it's a common condiment.
There you go.
That goes with pastrami, but also, what else is pastrami typically served on?
Is that the
rye bread?
Rye.
And I think your pairing was amazing. Thank you.
So, well, I don't. I mean, I think the rye bread would be a fantastic multi-component to help kind of bring back the hops just a tiny bit, and the rye flavors would kind of resonate with the hop flavors that are here.
I agree
too. I'm not a big, because isn't pastrami, isn't that a Reuben? Isn't it pastrami and sauerkraut? And is that what? Is
correct.
That, okay.
I mean, you can do.
I'm not a Reuben. I don't like sauerkraut. And so.
Well, I don't think the sauerkraut actually is going to work with this beer. But if you go just rye and pastrami with some mustard mm-hmm. and cheese, take the sauerkraut off, go mm-hmm. away from. Don't put the Thousand Island dressing on there either.
Yeah. No.
Leave that sharp, sauerkraut and that tangy Thousand Island dressing off. Mm-hmm. Just go with the pastrami, a little of a creamy cheese, maybe a Swiss or a provolone with the rye bread and mustard.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a winner here.
So I'm building my dream sandwich for this one right now. As you're saying, I'm thinking more along the lines of a brie. Spread that brie on it. So, but like
super
a
creamy.
But I'm not talking like a dark pumpernickel rye bread.
No,
talking just a rye bread with
just caraway white seeds.
Right. Rye and then that a nice coating of brie. Then we've got the pastrami and then but I want to include the bitter greens that are going to that I think will tie everything together as well. So you've got the bread kind of tying it and then the bitter greens. But the brininess of, or the, what we're talking about, the cured meats, you know, the salt is going to accentuate a lot of those flavors. And then you have the bread, this bready flavor that's underneath all of this, that's almost totally hidden underneath all of the hops.
I think you're dead on too with it being totally hidden. It's thin and you got to search for it, but that's kind of the fun of trying it the way it is, you know, really seeking out something to pit against the hops. Mm-hmm. They're intense. Like, there's no getting around it. They're intense. I'm looking up Beer Advocate and Rate Beer though, to kind of see what other people are showing in terms of their favor for this beer. And it's getting great marks. It's high 80s, low 90s, depending on where you're looking. When you evaluate, again, the intensity of the hops here, it's not going to be for the faint of heart. No. But if you love hops and you love IPAs and double IPAs, this is a quality selection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the things that I've asserted, and through my home brewing experience, I have anecdotal evidence to back this up. nothing empirical.
You sound like an investigatory journalist.
Yeah, nothing empirical, but I do have the anecdotal evidence that I've had plenty of Bud Miller's drinkers come to my house. Hey, you're swirling all over the place. That wasn't even caught on camera. So nobody's going to know what happened. See how Jason got a little too excited about swirling his beer. Anyway, let's
back to the anecdotal evidence.
My anecdotal evidence that double IPAs. Let me back up just a step. Even looking at St. Archer and the BJCP guidelines, talking about the blonde ales as the gateway craft beer, that this is a beer that you should, that when somebody goes in and says, I don't like this stuff, what should I drink? And then they say, well, you should try our Kolsch because it's as close to a Bud Miller's that you're going to get. My assertion and my anecdotal evidence backs up that you should go to the double IPA.
Really? You should go totally extreme opposite.
Just go because...
Jump in the deep end of the pool.
Not this one.
This one's intense.
This one is way... Because it doesn't have the malt to back it up. But to go with a malt and hop bomb, because generally you're talking 10%, well, 8 to 10%, and there's a lot of malt flavor and malt sweetness that backs it up. So okay. it hasn't this initial... hop bitterness burst, and then it's the sweetness, and that's what people are looking for. Okay. It, you know, all of a sudden it's there, and then it's gone, and then they're like, "Ooh, that was."
Unfortunately,
nice.
I'm beyond that nuance, that kind of novice approach, so I couldn't really validate that statement, but I can understand where you're coming from in the fact that people want something that is approachable, and if they're familiar with sweet mm-hmm. or comfortable with something that's a little less intense, the hop punch in the front followed by a malty backbone will kind of give them like, oh my God, what's happening? Oh, actually that tastes delicious. Right. You know, kind of that full mm-hmm. wave of emotion. As this beer warms up, I'm digging in, and I have to say, I think there's a little bit of it, almost a cantaloupe melon kind of aroma coming out of it as it starts to release some of its character. So although initially we were saying it's a really heavy and heady kind of hop intensity, I feel like there's a little bit of fruit that's starting to show itself.
I think you're right. And it's so, you have to pay attention to it, because otherwise you're not going to get it. You know, a melon flavor is, especially a cantaloupe or a honeydew, those things are light flavors, and you need to, if you're not expecting it, they can be washed over, especially with the bitterness that's in this, you know. And so even looking at one of my favorite beer pairings for an Imperial Red, so like Gubna and some other ones, is a melon ball wrapped in prosciutto. Now, think about, you know, like a fairly assertive melon flavor. And taking your suggestion with that, you've got the salty meat that we've just been talking about with the pastrami as a cured meat, and then you have that sweet melon ball underneath. That's kind of what you're describing here.
No, I totally agree. And it gets me thinking, though, trying to get out of the stereotypical melon and prosciutto aspect, where maybe we can get a little more creative. That's a great stepping stone for maybe something even like a spaghetti squash, where you're taking spaghetti squash and roasting it, kind of creating your base entree. Maybe you're caramelizing and really crisping up some pancetta or some pork belly and mixing that in with, you could even do like a little egg on top, like a carbonara. Mm-hmm. Maybe go to your local Italian restaurant that you love and get a carbonara that may, instead of pancetta or prosciutto, maybe it's got ham and peas with a great pasta base, or again, taking some of that nutty, slightly sweet spaghetti squash or acorn squash and using that to complement the double IPA, I think is a good direction that you could follow without getting way far outside the box and outside of a comfort zone. So this almost to me speaks like maybe a fall style beer.
I want to stay with pancetta. I don't want to go past what you said. I love spaghetti squash. And anyone who hasn't tried it, you really need to substitute the spaghetti squash with a pasta. I mean, just get rid of the pasta, put the spaghetti squash in it, and enjoy that as the pasta sauce.
But I think there's an underlying nuttiness that this beer is starting to reveal as it warms up, similar to what we were talking about with the melon, that starts moving into those food groups that we're talking about. With the melon, with the squash, with the pasta.
Mm-hmm.
Especially a whole wheat pasta. You know, a lot of people nowadays are moving away from kind of a traditional white flour, glutinous pasta, and moving into more of a whole wheat or even a rice flour kind of pasta. And I think those still could hold up to this because that earthiness, that kind of a strong grainy aspect of a whole wheat pasta is what this beer is begging for.
Yeah. That's it.
Should we throw, since we're on the pasta kick, maybe a kind of a spinach or a veggie lasagna with a strong ricotta and bechamel?
You know, I think you could, I was kind of thinking of the fall perspective.
I was going that direction too, but for me, all of a sudden spinach popped into my head with the ricotta, because you're going to get a sour, tangy creaminess with the ricotta, but the spinach also offers that that bittering agent that really resonates with this IPA, and that green herbaceousness that I think is coming out with the beer by itself.
Well, and that kind of leads back even to the earlier, just to tie it into the beginning when we were talking about sandwiches in general. So we had, you know, you were talking about radicchio and some of the bitter greens, and then I ended up throwing in some spinach and some of the baby kind of spring mix sort of thing. And so I think the spinach would be the minerality of that would lend to this beer as well. And knowing that coming into this beer, being aware that this is not the grapefruit, no, citrus, hop, pine resin stereotype.
This not.
There's underlying minerality to this beer. And so if you're looking for green, when you think about greens, think about a mineral kind of flavors.
No, I agree.
All right.
And that's wrapping us up. So again, we want to remind you that this was the St. Archer Brewing Company's double IPA. We've had a great time tasting this beer and trying to think of some food pairings to go with it. Check them out at St. Archer Brew for all their social media platforms. They're really consistent with that. And as we've mentioned time and time again, you know, dealing with this show and drinking beers and having a good time is all fun, but we got to get home too. And we trust our driving service too. We're driving here in Southern California. I got to get my ride and my car back to my home base. My wife and Curtis, my co-host, appreciates that. So again, we're driving here in Oxnard, California. If you're not in SoCal, you don't have access to We're Driving, find a great DD service in your area. And if you are in SoCal, again, look them up at WeirdDriving.com. Because we want to make sure that you're enjoying your pints and pairings night with a plan, and that way we can see you at the next pour. Also, make sure you send us some feedback. Hashtag beer suggestioneers, hashtag pints and pairings through all the social media platforms, and that way we can get what you're out there tasting and what you're pairing together with your beers.
And we would love to hear your opinions of this beer, because this would be a beer that I can see going both ways, that people are either going to love this beer or they're going to hate this beer.
Yeah.
And I really, really appreciate this beer.
I do too.
And I appreciate the food pairing possibilities with this.
Especially for an intensity as it has, mm-hmm, the hop presence is forward, which doesn't always lend to great food pairings, but I think this was one that you can put with some great dishes. Also coming up, Pints and Pairings got a new sponsor. Check out NeptuneGlassworks.com. We're going to be working with Yuri for some custom glassware here at Pints and Pairings. You'll be able to get through the show. We'll be featuring it on the show. And we might even have some glassware giveaways down the pipeline. So keep staying tuned. Stay tuned. I like it.
Okay.
They all work. It means stick with us, because we've got more shows coming up. Go to Neptune Glassworks. Check out what Yuri's got going on in his lighting installations and his glass creativity, his glass skills. Also, we want to remind you.
No, I want to remind you.
Let's remind everybody.
Okay, let's do it. Eat, drink, and be happy.
We'll see you at the next pour. Cheers.
Cheers.